Oh, what a busy week this is. We've got so much to deal with here, I hardly know where to begin. The dude that invented the internet now thinks it's a shit show and wants to fix it. And there's a new kind of kink, the autosexual. Great Britain is banning free online porn. I bet that pisses them off more than Brexit. And you think you're depressed? How'd you like to be a professional athlete, knocking down millions for playing a fucking game, between banging pointy chicks all over the country? You know, that kind of life can really get you down. That's right. These guys are depressed, probably tagging every text with a sad emoji. They're in the NBA, and they need our help. From the everything old is new file, flip phones are making a comeback, not with wrinkles in nursing homes, but with taut-skinned Gen Zers. And in a few short months, we will arrive at the 40th anniversary of a nearly forgotten incident at a Chicago baseball stadium that had a profound impact on American culture. I'm formulating plans to do something similar, but a lot bolder. It's a big and dangerous idea that could actually change the world. So stick with me, and I'll tell you all about it.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry.
Larry.
Where to begin? Well, the best tag for any story is sex. There are a lot of prefixes to the word sexual, but I just saw a new one, autosexual. At first, I thought, hey, that must be me. In my teens, I drove an old Cadillac, and I had a lot of sex in that automobile. With a column shift and a bench seat, it was bigger than most New York apartments. And those leather seats, they cleaned up easy. But that's not what this is. Autosexuals are a fast-growing segment. You don't need surgery or hormones or a new wardrobe, just a love of yourself. If you can't pass a mirror without getting turned on or have terabytes of selfies, you might be an autosexual. And if so, you're probably saving elephant bucks. Huh? Dinner dates, concerts, movies, jewelry, chocolates, flowers, Victoria's Secret. That shit adds up fast. But maybe they're buying all that stuff anyway for themselves. Autosexuality is not to be confused with autoeroticism, no. An autosexual doesn't need porn or even imagination. Just any mirror will do. And isn't that just perfect for life in the narcisso age? Autosexuals are just like the rest of us, though. They do get lonesome. So, several have married themselves. They have their own community. You've already got your monogamists and polygamists, and now you can be a sologamist. Didn't Dennis Rodman once marry himself? Maybe that guy's a pioneer. British autosexuals may thrive better than many of their countrymen. In their latest Orwellian move, England is outlawing free porn as of this April. Can you imagine the downloading going on right now? They must be filling zettabytes of storage as they accumulate sufficient free splooge material for the rest of their lives. I wonder if they'll declare stockpiling it illegal too. Have bobbies patrolling the streets in blackout vans with thermal imaging gizmos looking for unauthorized splugers. And if they find one, then what? They see some guy seated at his desk, his right hand on the mouse, then his other hand drifts to his lap. They hack into his Wi-Fi and discover he is not even online, so he must be harboring banned material. Why don't they just unplug the whole damn thing? Isn't that why Al Gore invented the internet? If I was married to Tipper, I'd be mousing and jacking all the livelong day. Oh, wait, it wasn't Al Gore. It was some other dude who has just announced that he regrets the hell out of his invention and thinks he created a monster. The dude's name is Tim Berners-Lee, and it says he created the World Wide Web in 1989, and this month is its 30th birthday. I always thought it was some government guys. What was it called, DARPA or something? But I guess back then it was just those creepy modem sounds and inscrutable IRCs and news groups and so on. This Berners-Lee dude added URLs and HTML, which is why we can now see all those cat videos and latte toppings and Memorama. Anyway, this Berners-Lee guy says that fake news and social media are dangerous and toxic. Well, that's true. He's also troubled by the hysterization of people due to online alarmism. Is that even a word, hysterization? And he's concerned about the way the web favors belief over knowledge. So this creator of the World Wide Web is now on a mission to save the internet. This is sounding kind of biblical, isn't it? Maybe he should send his only son to a young girl who has known not man nor Tinder nor Instagram. I'd like to ask Tim Berners-Lee why the hell he even wants to save the internet. What for? That would be like saving the Pacific Gyre or saving malaria or cancer. If he was really smart, he'd figure out a way to kill the damn thing. Design the mother of all viruses, something that not only destroys software but makes anything connected to the web explode in a fireball of certain death. That would get the job done. Have you seen any hoverboards lately? Hell no. A few of those things blew up and burned down some homes, and people started avoiding them like leprosy. That's all it takes, just a few good explosions and or fires. But Berners-Lee has launched a campaign to save the web and calls for the creation of a, quote, contract for the web, unquote, based on access for everyone and respecting privacy. Contract for the web. But right there in Berners-Lee's statement, there's a couple of glaring red flags, one being access for everyone. Huh? He must be a smart guy and all, but anything that offers access to everyone is bound to turn to shit, and fast. Doesn't the internet already give access to everyone? Could that be why it's a fucking sewer? Also trending, first vinyl, then cassettes, and now flip phones are making a comeback. Some people have just had a bellyful of all the social media bullshit and are getting back to basics. Remember those Nokias? They'd fit in a shirt pocket, and you'd lose your voice before you drained the battery. Talk time was literally days. Smartphone sales are down over 5% since last year. That's significant. And all kinds of health misery is being attributed to them. Anxiety, insomnia, depression, brain cancer. I don't know why I have a smartphone. I hate texting. I have no social media apps on it, and I never will. It's okay for GPS, grabbing some pictures, and talking. People are starting to max out on social media, and that's probably a good thing. It's a completely artificial world. Then layer on targeted ads and location tracking. And this is why even those raised on smartphones are opting for dumb phones. Flip phones aren't trying to get anything out of you. They don't finger you for advertisers. You use it. It doesn't use you. And don't forget the incredibly satisfying option of slamming that clamshell shut when you've had enough of listening to some asshole. Almost as satisfying as slamming down the receiver on a landline phone. Tapping your finger on a touch screen does not compare, and it never will. There's no finality about it, not even a hint of violence. It's the perfect hang-up for passive-aggressives. You can always say, oh, I lost you. And you know damn well your smartphone is listening to you all the time. It knows shit you didn't tell it. Many times I've been served ads that could only have been picked up by my conversation. That's fucked. I'm always amazed when I go out to dinner and see tables of entire families, from grandparents to grandchildren, and they are completely mute. Everyone is silently stroking their phone. Nobody talks to each other. It's mind-blowing. And I wonder if it's a heavily American thing. Last time I was overseas was in France, and there, people used their smartphones kind of like flip phones. They'd answer them, say what they needed, and put them away. I know this show is downloaded in 90 countries. Shoot me an email. Let me know the phone situation where you are. I'm really curious. I mentioned those depressed millionaires earlier, the NBA guys. There's a new story that says many of them are really deeply depressed. But then when you read the story, it turns out that what's bringing them down might be the same thing that's bringing everyone else down. Their fucking phones. The NBA commissioner is somebody named Adam Silver, and he thinks these guys' depression is a generational thing. Imagine that. All the money in the world, millions of adoring fans, and still a stupid little slab of glass and plastic embedded with electronics is fucking them up. Silver says that in Michael Jordan's day, teams were a band of brothers. Those guys were incredibly tight. They did everything together. They had great friendships, partly from the constant travel together. Isaiah Thomas said that championships are won on the bus. I believe that. Adam Silver goes on to say that, quote, if you're around a team in this day and age, there are always headphones on. The players are isolated, and they have their heads down. Wow. Think of the money riding on those players functioning as a team. And the most important element of any successful team is that they like each other. Then when they go out to blow off steam, they're always on guard because there's always some asshole around with a smartphone making video and posting video. Silver says that players do care about what's being said or written about them, and thanks to social media, every mistake made on the court is magnified. I guess those guys have Twitter accounts and they get trolled and bashed, and when you consider the vast sums of money riding on their performance, I'm surprised management hasn't ordered them off their phones and social media. Let some flacks or bots handle it for them. One of my kids' teachers has a cool policy. At the door of the classroom, she has a few of those vertical shoe bags hanging like people use in closets. And when class starts, every kid has to dump their phone in the bag, pick them up on the way out, and if anybody tries to sneak one by, they're thrown out of the class. I mean, who the fuck wants to be connected all the time? Connected to what? To Zuckerberg and Dorsey's shitstream? On 24-hour call with the office? It really is an electronic leash. The cordless matrix. There was a really famous incident that happened in Chicago in 1979. It occurred at Comiskey Park after the first game of a doubleheader between the White Sox and the Tigers. At that time, vast numbers of rock radio stations had been taken over by the disco format. The movie Saturday Night Fever had made the Bee Gees album the biggest seller of all time. And just as when any trend gets too hot, some people are going to say, fuck that, and try to cool it off. Or in this case, blow it up. And a couple of AM radio DJs cooked up the idea of a disco demolition night. And the lead guy named Steve Dahl persuaded White Sox management to participate. It probably didn't take too much persuading, because the Sox were having a shit season, and the stands were usually empty. So on this particular night, the deal offered was that admission would be reduced to a mere 98 cents if you showed up with a disco record to donate to the big blow-up that would happen between games. Now, they expected a crowd of maybe 20,000, Instead, over 50,000 showed up, each with at least one disco vinyl LP, and another 20,000 crashed the gates. And sure enough, after the first game, there was an enormous pile of records in center field, and Steve Dahl got down there and on the PA system. As he prepared to light the fuse, here's what he said.
Disco records that you brought tonight, we got them in a giant box, and we're going to blow them up real good.
That phrase he used, blow them up real good, I suspect was a nod to John Candy and the crew from Second City Television, a show that was vastly superior to Lorne Michaels' mainstream asswipe, Saturday Night Dead. Candy and his cohorts would do a sketch where they would blow up celebrities in effigy like Meryl Streep, and then they'd say,
"She really did it.
She blowed up good.
Blowed up real good."
But back to Disco Demolition at Comiskey Park. Once Steve Dahl blew the pile of records sky high, the fans swarmed the field to dance around the flames, and they just never left. The second game of the doubleheader was canceled, and that July 12 evening soon became known as the day that disco died. Steve Dahl really accomplished his mission. It was like a dam bursting or a fever breaking or squeezing a zit. After that evening, disco's popularity plummeted, and rock regained its primacy as the sound America preferred. Could anyone imagine something like that happening today? Fuck no. There would be safety issues, and cultural issues, and sensitivity issues, and environmental issues, and bullying issues, and it would be hurtful to disco fans and disco artists, and it would symbolize violence and bombs, and oh, how America has devolved since that evening in Chicago, to where now nothing is fun or funny or spontaneous. Everything must be controlled and monitored and improved and focus grouped and inoffensive to everyone. If anything so much as makes anyone frown or even feel a teensy bit uncomfortable, it's banned. The fact is, I dig rock, but I also dig disco. A lot of disco was sensational. It hurt no one, but social media, that's really fucking up our culture in ways we have yet to even fathom. One of the architects of Facebook is extremely regretful he had a hand in its creation. He outright calls it shit, prohibits his own kids from using it. Just listen to him.
We have created tools that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works. I would encourage all of you, as the future leaders of the world, to really internalize how important this is. If you feed the beast, that beast will destroy you. If you push back on it, we have a chance to control it and rein it in. And it is a point in time where people need to hard break from some of these tools and the things that you rely on. The short-term dopamine-driven feedback loops that we have created are destroying how society works. No civil discourse, no cooperation, misinformation, mistruth.
Wouldn't it be great to replicate Steve Dahl's disco demolition this July 12, exactly 40 years since he destroyed disco, and have thousands of people fling their fucking smartphones onto a gigantic pile, douse it with gasoline, and light it up? A bonfire of shit that could be seen from outer space, televised and live-streamed around the world. I wonder if that would be the death knell of the tweets and posts and grams and upvotes and downvotes that are fucking up our world. I wonder if it would start a trend and people might return to just talking to one another again over dinner, over the backyard fence, at the gas pump, online at the supermarket, between classes, between innings, between the sheets. I wonder. I've just posted a new bonus episode, and you really should check it out, especially since this one is available to all belt levels at the dojo. Here's the opening.
You get the fuck out of here! Yes. You want to sneak out of here! 8 o'clock in the fucking morning! It's so over! It's so over! Please. You are such an asshole! Fuck you!
No.
Get out!
Bitch drives me out of my goddamn mind.
Are you experiencing road rage?
Now you. Shut the fuck up.
Stop the car or I'm calling the police. You are exceeding the speed limit. I have notified the police.
Notify this. If that's not enough to pique your interest, I'll tell you the two words you should strike from your vocabulary and the four-word phrase to replace them with that will help you come out a winner in most every situation. Go to patreon.com/thatlarryshow and check it out. It's one of my best ever. And so, my friends, I'm asking for your thoughts and your input. Is my idea a pipe dream or a possibility? Think of the hours or evenings or days you have wasted, pissed off because of some idiotic tweet from some fuckball perhaps you may not even know. How many of you have been suspended or banned? By what? By some skinny jean jackhole billionaire in Silicon Valley? We're giving these assholes power every time we use their shit. We're allowing them to put us in the fucking corner. All we have to do to cut off their BB-sized balls is simply stop using their shit. Drop me an email at thatlarryshow@gmail.com and give me your thoughts on what I should call it, huh? The social media smackdown? Fuck you, Facebook? Put Twitter in the shitter? You tell me. I'd truly love to make this happen, but I can't do it alone. I'll see you next Tuesday or thereabouts, and until then, thanks for hanging with me and take no shit.